love above all others. And if it feeds the heart of fallen brothers, can rediscover.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour with Paul Sadek and Corey Regan starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisor, solving electrical problems for commercial, industrial, and institutional facility managers. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Thanks for joining us.
And it's a huge news week.
It's a big, uplifting, positive news week for us.
A great news week between Jeff Cavins being appointed the Director of Evangelization for the Archdiocese and Archbishop Neinstadt being back in the saddle. How can we do better this week?
I'm smiling. I'm just so grateful.
Both. All we need is some sunshine.
Well, yeah, we always talk about that, but I'll take these two things.
All right. Well, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Danielle Rose, who brings her life-affirming message to the masses through music.
And listen to what local Catholics say about a unique experience this Lent featuring communal prayer, benediction, confession, and fellowship. Find out more about Rediscover Prayer and how you can take part.
Plus, is God calling you to be a deacon? We'll have answers to your questions about this special ordained ministry.
And men, if you are looking for a special Lenten opportunity to find fellowship with other men of faith and hear inspiring speakers, we'll share the details on an event you won't want to miss.
And first, we'll start the show like we usually do with Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit. The latest edition just came out yesterday. Hello, Joe.
Hi, Joe.
Good morning, Paul. Good morning, Corey.
You have just a wealth of good news this week.
It has been a good news week, and you mentioned a couple of the things I want to talk about. And as you noted, it was announced this week that Jeff Cavins has been appointed as the Archdiocese's new Director of Evangelization. You know, obviously, he's someone well-known in these parts and around the country and really around the world in the church. And, you know, among you know, the many things he's involved with is the Great Adventure Catholic Bible Study Program. And, you know, he's also the founding director of the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. And, of course, there's all the work he's done on Catholic radio and TV. So this
huge
is
huge news.
Yeah, quite a significant appointment here that Archbishop Neinstadt is making. And, you know, in his new role, Jeff will oversee all the facets of the Rediscover Initiative and some other faith outreach programs. He starts officially on St. Patrick's Day.
Oh, well, just in time because he's
Monday.
Going to be with us next week.
That's right.
He is. He's going to be guest hosting the entire show with us on Friday next week.
Oh, that's great. We'll be able to hear more from him then. And, you know, everyone here is just very excited to have him as a colleague, and we look forward to what he'll bring to Rediscover and all the other evangelization initiatives here in our local church.
And the Archbishop is back in the saddle.
Yeah, another
praise be to God.
Yeah, thanks be to God.
News. You know, we found out this week that the Ramsey County Attorney's Office was announcing that it was declining to file charges against the Archbishop. You know, after police had conducted a pretty extensive investigation of that allegation that was against him, and you know, in a letter that he sent out right after that that allegation came to the Archdiocese's attention, you know, he just came right out and said it was absolutely and entirely false. And still, you know, he voluntarily stepped aside from all public ministry since December, and while the police were investigating that. And so we've missed, you know, his presence at several events, and even stepped away from writing his regular column in the Catholic Spirit.
Uh-huh.
So all that will resume now, and I expect he'll be writing his column for our next issue of the paper. And, you know, I know he's grateful for the thorough work that the police and the county attorney's office did, and that he's looking forward to presiding at the liturgies for Holy Week and Easter. And, you know, he also wants people to know that he remains obviously committed to the ongoing work of providing safe environments for everyone and for praying for victims of clergy sexual abuse. But it's good to have him back.
Well, he's back in the public just in time, because this is probably one of the busiest times of the year in the church.
Well, it certainly is. And, you know, just last week, and this is another piece of good news, We had the right of election at both the Cathedral of St. Paul and the Basilica of St. Mary for catechumens and candidates.
Wonderful.
And for folks who may not be familiar with that, it's the event that marks the beginning kind of the final preparation period for the catechumens. These are people who have not been baptized but will receive the sacraments of initiation, so baptism, Eucharist, confirmation, typically at the Easter Vigil. And we had a total of 223 catechumens.
Oh my.
Awesome. That is wonderful news.
And they were joined by 431 candidates who participated in the same ceremony in the part that's called the Call to Continuing Conversion. So these are people who've already been baptized and are preparing in whatever ways they need to in order to enter the church. So in total, that's 654 people preparing to be initiated into the church. And that's a number that's very comparable to last year. I think we had about 670 last year at the rite of election. And of course, this is just the people committed to coming to the cathedral and the basilica. So there might be a few more out there as well, number-wise. Now, both of you are converts, as I recall.
We are.
That's correct.
Is this a ceremony that you remember participating in when you were entering the church, wherever that was?
I'll let you take it, Tori, because I was too long ago to go through that.
Well, I do remember. It was at the basilica, and it was over Easter, and it was freezing still. I remember that, and all of my family, or Dan's family, at that time came, and it was a good memory. It's kind of foggy. There was a lot going on, and since I was so new to the church, I didn't understand everything that was happening, you know, looking back. But it was awesome. I remember the washing of the feet that we did on a Thursday. I remember that, and of course I remember, you know, getting confirmed and the oils and all of that stuff. It was neat. I was already baptized, so I didn't do that. But it was a beautiful ceremony, and there was, again, tons of people involved.
Yeah,
I was in a small ceremony down in Sioux City, Iowa, and I recall that the priest in charge of our group never told us to find a confirmation sponsor. So when he called the sponsors to come up, my brother-in-law, thanks be to God, just stepped into the role.
Oh, that's great. You know, it's such obviously a huge, important thing for the catechumens and the candidates, but I always like to encourage people, you know, just the general Catholic public, to go to ceremonies like that, because it just shows, you know, the rest of the church is with these folks. And it's an important thing, I think, for the rest of us to acknowledge as well. So, yep, great ceremony, both of them were.
It's a sign that the church is a living, growing organism.
New life, yeah.
Right, alive and well.
Well, what's new in Rediscover?
Well, we had the first of the Rediscover prayer events last Tuesday at the Cathedral of St. Paul. It was called Cor Jesu, which means Heart of Jesus, and I'd say we probably had a couple hundred people who came. Nice mix of younger and older folks who were coming from various locations around the Archdiocese, a couple van loads of people I saw from different parts of the Archdiocese. So for those who didn't attend or don't know what Cor Jesu is, it's a prayer time that includes, you know, Eucharistic adoration, opportunities for confession, time for reflection. There's praise and worship music. On Tuesday, we had some members of the Catholic band Sonar that was providing that. And there's some time for fellowship afterwards. So it's a really beautiful experience of personal and community prayer. And there are two more Cor Jesu events scheduled in the coming weeks here. So you might consider putting those on your calendar. March 25th at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, and April 8th at All Saints in Lakeville. The evenings begin at 7 o'clock. They end around 9. So if you're looking for something maybe a little different, something certainly very worthwhile to deepen your experience of Lent, I'd say by all means consider attending one of these Cor Jesu experiences. But you don't have to take my word for it, because I believe a little later in the show we're going to hear from some folks who attended the cathedral event.
If you need any more encouragement.
That's right. They'll talk about the beauty of what they experienced there. And it's a wonderful event. I really encourage folks to check out one of the two remaining ones.
And what else is in the Rediscover section this week?
Yeah, the theme this week is Rediscover a Prayer Routine. So the section kicks off with a great column by Jeff Cavins about how to cultivate good prayer habits. And he points out three particular things: picking a place where we can meet daily with God, designating a specific time to pray, and having some material that can help guide you in prayer. Now, do you have specific prayer routine that you follow religiously every day?
I'm trying to reestablish it.
Yes.
Let's put it that way.
I have one, but it needs improvement.
Yeah. Well, you know, me too. You know, I spend time in reflection, usually with the day's mass readings in the morning. That's when I'm freshest and
that's
the most mentally alert. And I'm a morning person at heart, and thank goodness nobody else in my household is. So it's a very quiet time.
Yeah, I do it at night, and I tend to fall asleep. So, and I'm a morning person. I need to do it in the morning.
Right. And so we have that column to, you know, give folks some ideas. Plus, as far as process goes, we have a column by Matthew Kelly where he talks about, where he really offers a kind of a format to help guide our daily prayer, helping us focus on things like gratitude and significant moments in our life and lifting up people in prayer and intentions and that sort of thing. So he really offers a good guide for how to have a wonderful conversation with God. Sometimes we can struggle with that, you know. And we also ask four Catholics with connections to the Archdiocese to talk about their prayer routines, what they do and what impact it's had on their lives. And, you know, in one case, we have a person talking about the importance for them of praying out loud because it helps them to really believe more what they're saying.
If you hear it.
And another is from a busy mom who came to see prayer as something that can happen throughout the day, you know, the idea of praying without ceasing.
Very true.
Yeah, even while she's, you know, dealing with the kids and the carpool and a million other things parents have to deal with. So I think our readers will find some good prayer examples
helpful
from those folks to emulate. So
March 13th edition of The Catholic Spirit is out and should be in your hands. Joe Towalski, editor, thanks for joining us.
Yes, have a great weekend.
We'll see you next week. Yeah. You can hear Joe Towalski, editor of The Catholic Spirit, every week here on the Rediscover Hour, and you can find The Catholic Spirit online anytime at thecatholicspirit.com.
And let's see, coming up on the Rediscover Hour, we'll talk with a musician born in Minnesota who's on a mission to bring life-affirming messages to the world. The inspiring songs and story of Daniel Rose coming up in the second half of the show.
And in Answering the Call, find out how men can answer the call to become an ordained deacon in the church. That's coming up when we come right back.
Rediscover.
Hi, this is Paul Archambault, owner of Stinson Electric, and we are the proud sponsor of the Rediscover Hour. Stinson Electric is a Catholic, family-owned company that serves the electrical construction and repair needs of local businesses, churches, and schools. Our faith and our motto of quality, integrity, and service guides our business decisions every day. For small projects, troubleshooting a circuit, or installing an outlet or light fixtures, we have a fleet of service trucks that are staffed by licensed electricians who are knowledgeable, courteous, and efficient. They have the latest technology to diagnose and repair your electrical problem. For larger projects such as new buildings, building additions, or relocating equipment, we'll help you design, budget, and build the project. Stinson Electric would like to be your trusted electrical advisor. I would welcome the opportunity to meet with you and discuss your electrical needs. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Oh, my love, don't you cry.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Okay, so do you guys know a man, a relative, a neighbor, maybe your husband, that's seeking a way to serve the church in a profound way?
Well, perhaps that man should consider discerning a vocation as a permanent deacon. For more on what it means to be a deacon and details about an upcoming informational series, we're joined today by Deacon Joseph Mihalik, Director of Diaconate and Diaconate Formation for the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis. Thanks for joining us, Deacon Joe.
Good morning. It's always a pleasure to be with you.
Tell me, first of all, you know, let's just open the book up. What does a deacon do?
Like basic terms. What do they do and what are they in charge of?
That's great. Great question. In fact, I always tell people that's the wrong question to begin with.
Good.
Whoops.
I'm glad we started
start.
It out wrong.
Put it on the table. No, because everybody, we like to begin with what does a deacon do, kind of like what does a dad do or what does a mom do.
Yeah, but what do they not do?
Yeah, but the real question is, what are they? Out of which they then do some things. And of course, from the standpoint of just what a deacon does, what's also implied often in that question is, what does a deacon do that a priest doesn't already do and that a lay person can't do?
Right.
And, of course, the answer is, uniquely, nothing. That is to say, we have to probe more deeply. We have to go at what is a deacon. So that's where I like to begin.
So what is a deacon?
Great. So a deacon is a man ordained, conformed to Christ sacramentally, just as a priest or bishop is conformed, ordained sacramentally to Christ. But unlike priest, bishop, the deacon is ordained to represent or icon or sacramentalize Christ the servant.
Okay.
So he becomes a living embodiment or icon of the service of Jesus Christ in the church and in the world.
Okay, and so what do you think certain qualities that a man might need to possess to become a deacon?
Yeah, well, you know, it's actually a lot like a bishop or a priest, actually.
That's what I would think.
Yeah, in fact, the church uses the same kinds of language to talk about these realities. So a man needs to be at least 35 years old at time of ordination. So he could enter formation before that, but 35. In our archdiocese, no older than 65 at time of ordination.
Okay.
And he's a man that the church would look for, a man of maturity, humanly, a man, if he's married, a stable marriage, if he's single, stable celibacy and understanding that in Christ, a man who has a habit of prayer and listening to God in prayer. It's not a monastic vocation, it's an active vocation, but it's rooted in contemplation and prayer.
Okay.
A man who identifies with the church and her mission, not just a lone ranger, but very much the church's man. A man who's willing to be sent where he's needed by the bishop, and Archbishop Flynn used to say it this way, especially to be sent to places he'd rather not go. which captures well the idea of I'm representing Christ, and so just as Jesus went in obedience to the Father in a way that he would rather not go, frankly, to the cross,
yes.
So the deacon often has to go into the midst of suffering and be acquainted with suffering, and it's not always so attractive.
Now, there's no secret that I'm older than either of you here, and I remember a day back in the early days of the permanent diaconate, when it was just recently restored, mm-hmm. when the church was having a really difficult time figuring out just what to do with these deacons. We've grown a lot as a church since those days, haven't we?
Sure, and that's to be expected, no surprise there. You know, the Holy Spirit was working before the Second Vatican Council, back around World War II, and even earlier, and there was a lot of talk and percolation of this idea. Actually, it was the Council of Trent way back in the 1500s.
Okay, I don't remember that one.
No, you may not. You're not that quite that old yet.
No,
huh?
No.
And it really wasn't until the Council, though. And the Council Fathers said, yes, so we want to do this, amen. It seems like the Holy Spirit's leading us. And we don't know what it's going to look like.
Well, what was the purpose? Just as a helper, or why did they come up with these roles?
Well, again, part of it is to actually represent the fullness of the church.
Okay.
You know, the church fathers will say, without bishop, priest, and deacon, you can't even begin to think of the church.
Okay.
So we're kind of used to thinking about the deacon as icing on the cake.
Uh-huh. But
and
it's
from
crucial.
The standpoint of offering the sacrifice, which is what the priest does, that's true. But what the deacon does is, and here's where we get to what he does. What the deacon does is he brings the offering to the altar. That is, the sufferings of the desires, the hopes of people, he brings to the altar. Represented in liturgy, he actually is the one who goes down and gets the gifts, receives the gifts, and brings them to the altar. And then he takes the fruit of the sacrifice, and supremely, the Eucharist. One of the traditional roles of the deacon is to take the Eucharist from the Mass out to those who could not be present.
Mm-hmm.
And so he then takes that fruit of charity and mercy from the altar out into the world, in a lot of times in places where priests can't go. And frankly, that's in part because many deacons are married. Many,
okay.
Most have secular jobs. They can be, with permission, involved in politics. So there's a mission field out there for the church's sacramental presence that no one else can quite fulfill, and that's the role of the deacon.
Okay, let's talk about formation. What's involved in forming a man to become ordained a deacon?
Yeah, you know, it's a lot like a priest. We use the same categories. It's not a full-time process because most men are married. Most men have other jobs. It's not a degreed program, although we use some courses from the St. Paul Seminary. But it is a lengthy, it's a full five-year process, part-time studies,
okay,
pastoral internships, spiritual formation, human formation, a lot of theology, a lot of hands-on work. 5 years, but it requires, even before that, a man to be at least already in the Archbishop Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute.
Okay.
So that's a prerequisite.
That's a prerequisite, yeah. So a man can be in it and apply to diaconate formation, and they can begin to work together. So when you put all that together with the application process, it's probably, you're looking at close to 6 years.
And then are you assigned to a certain church, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a good question. The bishop assigns. By the way, the bishop ordains. You know, at a priest ordination, the bishop lays hands on a priest, then all the priests do.
Uh-huh.
At a deacon ordination, only the bishop lays hands.
Okay.
Because the deacon is the bishop's man. So the bishop assigns him, and for years now in our archdiocese, we have a policy that a man is not assigned to the parish he comes from.
Okay.
He's assigned to another parish, or he doesn't have to be assigned to a parish. It could be a Catholic institution, like a hospital.
Okay.
Provided there's a liturgical life there.
Mm-hmm.
Because the deacon must be rooted in the liturgy. He has a threefold ministry: liturgy of the word, liturgy of the Eucharist, and liturgy of charity, which is that's what is the most prevalent, because it's the fruit of that Eucharist and that word. So deacons will be assigned to a parish, most of them, and then many of them are also assigned to a non-parish ministry, like prison ministry, hospital work, university work, wherever the need is.
I think it's important to point out, too, that a deacon is an ordained member of the clergy.
Yes.
You know,
so
I mean, even though he may be married, may work a secular job in addition to his ministry, he is an ordained member of the clergy.
Yeah.
And do they get ordained once a year, or how often does it happen?
Just like a priest or deacon, once.
Well, yeah, no, is there one big ordination every...
Oh, I see what you're asking, yes.
Yeah, no.
No, we...
not multiple times, no.
You get married once.
Yeah, right, no. Like, when does it happen?
Great question. We used to do it every year. We used to have guys for every year of formation and ordination. We now have moved to an every other year.
Okay.
And we had paused taking anybody into formation for a little while, just as we wanted to tweak the formation process. So our next ordination will actually be late in the fall of 2015.
Okay.
So how can a man find out some more about this?
Yeah, well, can always contact us. Our offices are at the seminary. But we have a series of, we call them inquiry sessions, a little mini-series coming up. And it begins on Thursday, March 27th. So it's that Thursday, March 27th, Thursday, April 3rd, Thursday, April 10th, and in fact, we're actually going to send men and wives to the Chrism Mass with the Archdiocese that night,
okay,
and then Saturday, April 12th. And all this, I think it's on your website, and it's going to be posted on the seminary website. There's been advertisements in the Catholic Spirit and all, but the main way, and we ask everybody, is contact our office.
Talk a little bit about the involvement of the wife of a man in formation and who has been ordained a deacon.
Sure, great question. And the best persons to ask about that, of course, are the wives. And I was just meeting with a group of the wives last night of the men in formation and some who have been ordained.
How many are going through right now?
We've got 20 men right now in formation, two different classes.
Okay.
All of those men are married. So their wives are involved. They have to be involved, especially on the front end of the process. That's the church's norm. And in fact, the wife needs to give written permission to the bishop for for the man to be in the process and to be ordained. That's canon law.
Okay.
Hmm. And so if the wife says no, the bishop obeys her.
She's got the final word.
yeah, she has the final word. So part of the process really is learning what the vocation is and being able to journey together, because the church deeply respects the marriage. So to journey together in this process and to understand it, discern with the Holy Spirit, with the church, is the man called to this, and by extension, is the wife called to become a wife of a man given over to the church. And that's a profound sacrifice. Any of the married deacons will tell you, we're married priests, and we have some. You know,
mm-hmm. Yes.
They'll tell you, if it weren't for my wife and the support she gives and the witness and the holiness of my wife, I couldn't do this.
It's amazing stuff. Deacon Joe Mihalik, thank you so much for joining us and filling us in a little bit about what a deacon is. Did I get that right?
Yeah.
Not what he does.
We do a lot, too, sacramentally. And I talked about a little bit about the different ministry. We do a lot. An absolute lot, but it flows from who we are.
Right. That makes sense.
Thank you, Deacon Joe.
Thank you. God bless.
Here are the details now on the upcoming diaconate inquiry sessions for single or married men between 25 and 59 years of age. All sessions will be held at the St. Paul Seminary, Brady Education Center, Room 105, Thursdays, March 27th, April 3rd, and April 10th, 6:30 to 9 p.m., and Saturday, April 12th, from 8 to 11:30 a.m.
And you are asked to attend all four sessions in the series, and men, if you are married, your wife should also attend. So come and find out more. Even if you're not ready to apply now to diaconate formation, no commitment to apply is needed, but to register for these information sessions, please call Shelley at 651-962-6891. That's 651-962-6891. And again, we've linked this information on our show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org. Click on radio in the top navigation bar.
Every week on the Rediscover Hour, we catch up with local people and ask them a question.
Earlier this week, we asked attendees at the first Rediscover Prayer event, we asked, what did you like about the Kor Jesu prayer service? And here's how they responded.
Hi, my name is Andrea from St. John's Parish in Omaha, Nebraska. And what I liked most about the Kor Jesu was the music and the reflection time with it to kind of help me gather my thoughts and meditate before going to confession.
Hi, my name is Greg from St. Peter's in Forest Lake, and what I loved about Kor Jesu is just how accessible it makes the sacraments, confession, and spending time in adoration before the Lord just on a Tuesday night, regular day, you know.
Hi, I'm Molly from St. John the Baptist in Excelsior, and my favorite part of Kor Jesu is the communal aspect, because you're here and you're before the Lord, and it's really an individual encounter with the Lord, but knowing that everyone else there is going through the same thing and hearing everyone's voices praise God through song and through the prayers at the end and the benediction is just a really powerful experience.
Hi, my name is Nick from St. Peter's in Forest Lake. And what I really enjoyed about Kor Jesu was the way that it opened up the sacraments, both of the Eucharist and adoration and of reconciliation, to, you know, such a huge community that was so diverse and so many different age groups and like from places in life. And I thought it was really cool the way that the church comes together just to praise God and be with God in these moments.
Hi, my name's Liz. I'm from Nativity of Our Lord in St. Paul. And what I really liked about Kor Jesu was being able to take out some time out of my busy week and take time off of school and just come in adoration and see all these other people praising the Lord and experiencing the sacraments. It was just really wonderful just to see how many people were able to come and experience that with them.
Hi, I'm Michael from Holy Family Maronite Catholic Church in Mendota Heights. And what I loved about the Kor Jesu was the power of adoration and the presence of our Lord and the sacrament of the Eucharist. And it was just a beautiful experience.
You still have an opportunity this Lent to experience a Rediscover Prayer evening with Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship. There are Rediscover Prayer evenings on March 25th at St. Hubert in Chanhassen or April 8th at All Saints in Lakeville. Both evenings begin at 7 p.m. and details are at rediscover-faith.org.
Coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, we'll hear from Duluth native and international music missionary Danielle Rose. We'll be right back.
In the silence of the heart. Sarah Ennis with a cultural note from Catholic Studies at the University of St. Thomas. From 1920 to 1922, the Norwegian writer Sigrid Undset published the three volumes of her novel Kristin Lavransdatter. Set in the tumultuous but Catholic medieval Norway, the novel is a profound exploration of marriage and family, kinship and faith. Undset would convert to the Roman Catholic Church 3 years later in 1925. She returned to the richly Catholic culture of Norway before the Reformation in her novel, The Master of Hestviken, in which she explores the very human reality of unrepented sin. She received the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1928.
Relevant Radio is proud to bring you cultural notes from the University of St. Thomas Center for Catholic Studies. For information on local Catholic Studies events, go to the Events tab at relevantradio.com.
My seed was born on bright spring morn in gardens grown by God. Out of the earth my stem gave birth to petals red as blood.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. Now, we heard a little music from Minnesota musician Danielle Rose coming back from break. And Danielle has an amazing story. When she was just 17, she traveled to India to volunteer with Mother Teresa's Missionaries of Charity. And the experience gave her a desire to serve the poorest of the poor by offering her gift of music as a means of alleviating the spiritual poverty of America.
After graduating from Notre Dame in 2002, Danielle began traveling the globe as a music missionary in order to spread the gospel through a joyful witness of story and song. She's released 5 albums so far. Her most recent is Culture of Life, released in 2013.
And Danielle is in town beginning this Sunday, March 16th, for a 4-day Lenten retreat at St. Hubert in Chanhassen. And we are so happy to have her as a guest on our show today. Thank you for joining us, Danielle.
Hi, thank you.
We're so happy you're here. Now, starting out, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you grew up in Duluth.
I grew up in Duluth, and my dad, Dr. Dan Scores, he's an eye doctor, and my mom is a full-time mom taking care of the world, basically. I have 2 siblings and 1 in heaven, and we make a bunch of noise.
There you go. We like that.
I grew up doing music, playing violin, and then I started writing in high school. And then after the trip to India, that was when that gift was given back to the Lord. So that's been the journey of entering into music.
You released your first album while you were still in college. What was the inspiration for Defining Beauty?
Well, that first album is the only one that doesn't have like a complete theme to it. It was a collection of different songs I'd written in high school and the beginning of college. They're all songs really about the beginning of that faith journey of falling in love with God.
Amazing. Now, you received the personal blessing of Pope John Paul II when you presented him with your second album, Mysteries, a collection of meditations upon the 20 mysteries of the Rosary. And can you talk about that experience? I mean, that must have been amazing to have that blessed.
It was so life-changing. To be in the presence of John Paul II and to be right near him, when he looked into my eyes, I really did feel that he had a gift of reading souls. I mean, I can't wait to hear what is going to be shared with the church in his canonization as far as his interior life with the whole process of investigation with his canonization. He clearly was and is a saint. And it was definitely life-changing and a dream come true for me to be able to give him this gift of the songs that had come as a result of his faithfulness to the Lord. It was just a rare, incredible gift from God to be able to say, you know, Holy Father, like, your message is being heard by the young people.
Mm-hmm. And, how did that happen?
It happened. Bishop Schnurr, who is now Archbishop Schnurr, he was in Duluth at the time.
Okay.
And I shared with him my desire to just somehow be able to allow the Holy Father to know that his message was being heard about the Rosary.
Uh-huh.
And then God opened up the doors for our family to go to a general audience in Rome at a time when the Holy Father was very, very sick, so he wasn't doing any private audiences. So I was able to present it at that audience on January 14th of 2004.
That album is such an epic of meditations on the rosary. I want to play a little bit more from the album Mysteries. The song is called Crown of Thorns.
My seed was born one bright spring morn in gardens grown by God. Out of the earth my stem gave birth to petals red as blood. The gentle rain my growth sustained, and like each seed God sows. I dreamed one day that I'd be named a king's most precious rose. One day a soldier bent me over, tore me from my bed, all beat and battered, my stem tattered, wanted not but dead. In cruel hands gripped, my beauty stripped, 'twas not the dream I chose. And filled with shame, I wept in pain, no more a precious rose.
Oh, there's a lot of emotion in that, isn't there?
Well, the voice of an angel, my gosh, it's just gorgeous.
Thanks be to God.
I mean, it's beautiful, it sure is. It's very moving.
Now, your latest album is called Culture of Life, a musical reflection on the elements that build an authentic culture of life. What elements do you see lacking in American society today?
Well, there are so many things that oftentimes when we talk about the end to abortion and the prayer for end to abortion, we forget there's so many components that reflect that and are necessary for that to take place. The themes on this album, gosh, there's 15 themes, and they're all contributing to that prayer that life would be cherished from conception to death in every family in each situation. So it would be like the unrepeatable value of each soul in eternity, adoption, openness to life, NFT, post-abortive healing and prayer of repentance for all sins against life. God's ability to use our wounds to even bring about life in our culture if we give them to Him. End of life, God's timing for end of life. The call of each soul to be a saint. The value of each soul in God's eyes.
Oh, amen to that.
So those are some of the themes. I apologize for not being more succinct with that, but there's so much to talk about with it.
Well, how long does it take you to put a CD, about, especially one like that, together? I mean, you write all your songs, correct, and come
yes.
up with the themes yourself. I mean, these are some deep, deep ideas here. How long has it taken you to pull them all together?
Well, for the past four albums, God has just very clearly given inspiration, and then he just shows what those themes, what those songs need to be, and then I camp out with the Blessed Sacrament.
I've read that you write your music in front of the Blessed Sacrament.
Yeah, so the Culture of Life album, I basically camped out in a chapel for about 2 months straight. I just would literally just spend the whole day listening in prayer and silence, and then when the words come, then usually the Lord gives the music, but it's something when there's something so huge to express in words that are so small. Only mm-hmm. God can do that. So I just go sit there with him and say, I don't know how to say this, God. And eventually he kind of gets through to my heart, you know.
Well, let's hear another example. This one is from Culture of Life. It's called Little Flower.
How can you say there are too many children? That is like saying there are too many flowers in the garden.
Danielle Rose, one of the ministries you help support is the China Little Flower Orphanage. Tell me a little bit about that.
This orphanage I learned about when I was in the time of discernment in the convent, and I met a couple missionaries from China. And I began to learn about the effects of the one-child policy in China and how it affects people individually in their lives. And it impacted me so much. And this orphanage is run by an American family. They have 6 kids of their own, and they help take care of several hundred babies with special needs. And they rely completely on God's providence to do so in the midst of a very complex and difficult cultural and governmental restrictions, you know, upon their work. So it's a very delicate thing where they receive babies one at a time, and then they're trying to live out their faith to take care of the kids, but they can't do that explicitly. Otherwise, they would get shut down in terms of their faith. Mm-hmm. So when I learned about their work, I just felt that God was inviting me to be a spokesperson on their behalf, because they aren't able to freely communicate their needs and their intentions the way that we can hear. Even in the midst of difficulties here, we still are able to just put things on the internet or do different, whatever we need to do to tell people, please help us. And there they can't do that. So I've been trying to just share stories and be able to communicate about that here in the opportunities that God gives.
Okay, and now we know you're in town for the St. Hubert Lenten Retreat, but do you have any other upcoming local appearances? We'd love to have you, of course, back on our show.
Oh, that's so nice of you. I don't, the next time I'll be in Minnesota for ministry will be in May. In Lakeville, there is going to be a mother-daughter retreat.
Oh, wonderful.
Over Mother's Day weekend, and that's the next time that I'll be in Minnesota.
We will look for you. Danielle Rose, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you guys, and God bless you. Happy Friday of Lent.
God bless you.
Fish today.
Yeah. So you can hear Danielle at the St. Hubert Lenten Retreat this Sunday, March 16th through Wednesday the 19th. She's providing music all 4 nights on the retreat, and the St. Hubert Lenten Retreat runs from March 16th through the 19th with programming from 7 to 8:30 p.m. each night. March 16th is Youth Night, immediately following the 6 p.m. Mass, and all events are free and all faithful are welcome. Again, the Lenten Retreat is at St. Hubert in Chanhassen. Visit sthubert.org or call 952-934-9106. That's 952-934-9106 for more info.
And Danielle's 5 albums, Defining Beauty, Mysteries, I Thirst, Pursue Me, and her most recent Culture of Life are available for purchase through iTunes or at daniellerose.com. We've set up a link on our show page, and that goes to her website.
And coming up today on the Rediscover Hour, find out about how an inspiring faith event that you can attend if you're a Catholic man, a local Catholic man. Hear how you or a man in your life can participate in Mass, hear inspiring speakers, and find fellowship with men of faith at the annual Archdiocesan Men's Conference.
And we'll run through a listing of other Catholic events happening around town. We'll be right back.
I'll meet you at the table. I'll meet you in his home. Company of angels in the place where all things start. We receive each other's presence. We are all made one in Him. Though I cannot see your face, I'll see you in the Eucharist.
Hi, I'm Paul Archambault from Stinson Electric. You're a facility manager or business owner with electrical or lighting needs, we can help. Have you heard the buzz lately about energy-efficient lighting? Do you wonder if it makes sense for your facility? You may not know who you should call or who you can trust. Energy-efficient lighting installations are usually eligible for utility rebates that defray part of your initial investment. Often these projects pay for themselves in as little as 1 year. You gain the added benefit of better quality lighting, less maintenance, and energy efficiency. We have designed and installed lighting upgrades for churches, schools, and commercial buildings for customers just like you, who are often astonished with the results. We also install and service outdoor lighting on buildings and in parking lots to enhance safety and security. Call Stinson Electric, 612-424-7382.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour. I'm Paul Sadek.
And I'm Corey Regan. What did the Pope say this week?
What did he say?
This is really cool. In honor of the one-year anniversary of Pope Francis's election as Bishop of Rome, the Vatican website has published a special online book. It's entitled, Do We Want to Become Holy, Yes or No? Now you can go to www.vatican.va and check this out. It has all of his quotes, some of his homilies, pictures, anything, basically everything he's done in the
there
past
year. There are some real gems on there.
Well, and every week we see some quote that people are talking about. So he's obviously making a mark on people from what he says week to week.
Vatican.va.com. No, not .com. Vatican.va. Yeah. A little bit different. There you'll find right at the top the virtual book in honor of the Pope's first year.
Now, every year, hundreds of men come together during Lent for the Archdiocesan Men's Conference.
They attend the Eucharist and confession. They attend for inspiring speakers. They attend for the faith-filled fellowship.
Now, maybe you know of someone who could benefit from attending. If so, share the invitation. And we're joined this morning by Jean Stolpelstad, Director of the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, with all the details you need to know about this special event. Thanks for joining us, Jean.
Hi, Paul. Hi, Corey. It's just a real treat to be with you today.
Well, thanks.
And why is it important for men to come together at an event like this?
You know, Paul, that's a really great question. But when the guys get together at these types of events, it really allows them to participate in a shared vision with so much strength that's brought about by a unity of mission. In a day-to-day situation, our perseverance can kind of wane. And coming together revitalizes that strength and that recommits us to living our faith on a daily basis. Really strengthens a guy's faith, his friendships, it builds that father-son bond, and it builds a unity that's really palatable. These guys, when they're leaving this event, they're like a glacier. Right? They are carving out a new landscape in our culture.
Very cool. Well, and as a man, what can they expect at one of these events?
You know, each event, Corey, has its own kind of flavor and message. And this year, the guys are going to focus on leadership, on what it means to have masculine leadership.
Okay.
Doug Bushman is the first speaker, and he's the real deal.
We had him on last week. He was wonderful.
Oh, isn't he amazing? Not only is he intelligent, but he's just a super great speaker. He has six kids, you know, coach their football teams. He understands the hectic life of living in a family. And so he's going to talk about laying that foundation of leadership, which is found in the process of making good decisions. And our decisions are a development of our conscience, not only for the guys themselves, but for their kiddos. You know, being able to share that process with others and bring about that greatest good. Because we know that our success and our happiness is based on the decisions we make. And then Brian Bonin, he's kind of the local boy from down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up in White Bear and played on the National Hockey League, had some great experiences in his life. And he's going to talk about the development of character and the excellence of virtue. Now, these are the things that we need in order to employ our conscience on a daily basis. So he's going to talk about how we develop character in ourselves and in our kids.
So a man's kind of teetering on the edge, wondering, should I go or shouldn't I? What would you say to him?
Well, I would say, go.
Just go.
Not only go yourself, but bring your kids, bring the neighbors. Men need events like this. Women, we get together all the time. But for guys in our culture, it's a little bit more difficult. And there is a lot of power in assembly. And I want to really add this and stress this point. Our Archbishop is back.
Yes.
And he is choosing this event to re-enter public ministry.
His first back. Oh, that's great. Another reason to go.
Absolutely. His final blessing, he has so much to share with these guys, and his final blessing is going to be electrifying.
In about 10 seconds, can you tell us something that you would give as advice to wives and mothers to send their husbands out?
Absolutely. We need to be like Mary at Cana. Our husbands, they want to take care of us. They don't want to put any extra stress on us. So women, allow and make sure that your husbands know.
Maybe we should just sign them up and say, you're going. There, it's done. I've got it covered. Go.
just really share the news with them and encourage them.
Jean Stolpestad, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Oh, thank you.
Here are the details now on the Archdiocesan Men's Conference, March 22nd, Anderson Fieldhouse on the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Adoration and confession starts at 7 a.m., Mass at 8 a.m., followed by inspiring talks. Archbishop Neinstadt and Auxiliary Bishop Pichet will both be speaking. Keynote Dr. Douglas Bushman from the Augustine Institute. The event ends at noon. Adult admission, $20. Students, $10. To register, go to archspm.org, search Men's Conference under Events, or call 651-291-4489. That's 651-291-4489 for more information or to register over the phone.
Now, here's a look at other Catholic events happening around town. The Epiphany Women's Lenten Retreat takes place on March 22nd at Epiphany in Coon Rapids. So, ladies, you can go while the men are at the Men's Conference in St. Paul. The theme of the Epiphany Women's Lenten Retreat is Living Your Faith with Courageous Faith and Contagious Joy, with talks by Speaker Kelly Walquist, who we've been honored to have as a special guest on our show from time to time. And the retreat begins with Mass at 8 a.m., followed by a full breakfast. Talks begin at 9:45 a.m. with door prizes to follow. Suggested donation, $10 a person. And tickets are available for advance sale in the Epiphany Parish office. For more information, visit epiphanymn.org.
Deepen your prayer life this Lent. There's a good idea. Invite a friend or family member to join you. Come to a Rediscover Prayer Evening. These evenings are a unique opportunity to experience Koryezu, worshiping Christ in community through Eucharistic adoration, confession, praise, benediction, and fellowship. Mark your calendars for Tuesday, March 25th at St. Hubert in Chanhassen, or Tuesday, April 8th at All Saints, Lakeville. All Rediscover Prayer evenings begin at 7 p.m. Details at rediscover-faith.org.
Now, all faithful are invited to the annual Chrism Mass, which will be celebrated at the Cathedral of St. Paul on Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. Join with others from throughout our local church in this tradition that dates back to the early church. At this Mass, the bishop blesses three oils that will be used in sacraments throughout the Archdiocese for the coming year. All priests present will renew their priestly promises during this special Mass, and that's Thursday, April 10th at 7 p.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul.
If you've never been to a Chrism Mass,
that seems pretty cool. I've never been.
It is an experience well worth checking out. And healthcare workers are invited to the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference. It's coming up on March 28th and 29th at St. Catherine University and the University of St. Thomas in St. Paul. Continuing education credits are available. You can find out some more and register online at rediscoveringjoy.com. That's rediscoveringjoy.com. Deadline to register is today, Friday, March 14th. So go to the website rediscoveringjoy.com to find out more about the Rediscovering Joy in Healthcare Conference. For more information on any of the events we've mentioned today on the Rediscover Hour, please visit the Rediscover Hour show page. Just go to rediscover-faith.org, click on radio in the top navigation bar. Coming up next week on the Rediscover Hour, brought to you by Stinson Electric, your trusted electrical advisors, serving commercial, institutional, and facility managers in our area. We'll talk with the new director of evangelization, Jeff Cavins. This is such exciting news. such a man of vision. You'll want to make sure to tune in. He'll be with us throughout the whole show next week.
And we'll speak with the author of a new book about raising children in the Catholic faith. I need that. Find out more about the support that you can get from Parenting Against the Tide.
That's all coming up, plus a whole lot more next week on the Rediscover Hour. The Rediscover Hour is heard Fridays at 9 a.m., Saturdays at 6 p.m., Sundays at 9 a.m., right here on Relevant Radio. Discover Hour is heard every Friday morning at 9, Saturday evening at 6, and Sunday morning at 9 on Relevant Radio 1330. You can find show audio archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com. Keyword, rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul in Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.